Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' fracker of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can find them at tqag.com or right here on a Tuesday morning. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Where's Greg?
I think you have one.
That's it. So we just have one.
Yes, Greg had an 8 o'clock appointment, so he's in his car. And I'm sure if you tried calling him, he didn't know how to
turn on Skype. We could create a car accident. There's no reason to do that.
Correct. So you're stuck with me this morning.
Well, that's okay. I don't consider it stuck with you. I feel sorry for you guys when you get stuck with me every morning.
No, not at all. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Starting off the same as the old year, but
with an election.
That's right. just what we needed after New Year's.
Okay. Right, and a high viral load. It's like, oh boy.
Now I will give it that there's some people getting very rich. Almost $500 million has been spent in the past month and a half in Georgia for the Senate elections. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's scary. All right, so now there's a story here that I was meant to ask you guys about, back on sometime
September.
In October. And I just found it where I shoved it away where Joe gave it to me. I don't know if it holds any, but it was the Rose Rock auction, which was meant to fetch up to $38 million at Sotheby's in November. And it's called the Spirit of the Rose. So, but like I said, Ed, I'm just bringing it up now to clear my conscience because I forgot to bring it up when I meant to bring it up. Oh, gosh. Well, it's just the type of the end of the year it's been. So what have you guys been doing here since the start of the year?
Well, I have breaking news. I have some news. Santa actually brought me a new employment opportunity.
What?
Which started yesterday, which was very exciting. So I am working back into the auction industry. I'm working for Hindman Auctions, and I know you've heard us talk about them in the past with some of their auctions. But I'll be working as an auctioneer, but also as their senior appraiser here in South Florida. Working with the director of appraisals and helping with the entire, grow the appraisal department, working on special collections. And the great thing with Hindman Auctions is that they're a regional auction house. So they are selling not only in Chicago, where they are based, but also here in Palm Beach, down here in Florida. So I'll be their auctioneer here. They also have a sale room in Atlanta, where they sell, a sale room in Denver, Colorado, where they do a lot of Western art, and they have the sale room in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then they have regional offices in Washington, D.C., as well as St. Louis, in Arizona, San Diego, Milwaukee, so around the country. And it'll be very exciting to be working with a larger national team and really growing their appraisal services, but also then looking at special collections and different things that will be being offered at auctions. So back into the auction world, but also in the appraisal world. So it's a good marriage of the two different types of things that I really enjoy doing. And we started yesterday. So today I have more meetings and just doing new things. And Greg has been really busy with a lot of doing virtual auctions. I think it's whenever we have any kind of time off, like around Christmas and between Christmas and New Year's, we did receive a number of phone calls of people thinking about, I need to get around to this. It's the end of the year. I either need to make a donation, or I need to get this appraised, or I need to deal with family stuff, because Greg received a number of phone calls. I received a number of phone calls. I was busy tying things up from my Gergen's job, and Gergen's was wonderful. They were very supportive in this move, and actually I will also be doing some consulting through Heinemann with Gergen's, and also Greg is doing some consignment with Gergen's. So we have a lot of opportunities, but it's been a busy time with between Christmas and New Year, because also I had my identity stolen. Now, who would want to be me? Like, come on.
Hey, well, you, it happened to me 3.5 years ago.
Oh,
it happened to me when I went to file my taxes. I got a thing back from, and I always use an online tax service saying that your taxes have already been filed. Somebody stole my identity. Now, how bad off was this poor schmuck to steal my identity? So anyway, I had to work with the IRS, and I had to work with the GSO, General Service Office. And after about 4.5 months, I then had to go to an IRS office, sit with my last, and thank God, I very, very, last 3 years tax information.
Sure.
And it took exactly 11 months to clear everything up and to move on. And every year now, when I file taxes, the IRS sends me a specific code that I have to use. When I was sitting in the interview with the Internal Revenue Service, I said, why would somebody use someone like me whose tax returns show that I make about anywhere between $28,000 and $40,000 a year? And where my life, you know, where I am worth basically very, very little. And they said, you don't understand. When they steal your identity, they build a new identity for you.
Yes.
And
yes,
they base it on you. They completely erase your old identity. And he says, and that way they can get credit cards, they can get this, and it's all done in your name. And it really opened my eyes incredibly. So have you gone through any of this yet?
Yes. So luckily, Greg and I both are members of LifeLock, and had my social and all that being watched. So it was very rapid fire. They were trying to open things. Here's the other crazy thing is that they applied for unemployment in the state of Florida for me. And that's where it was a little scary, where I had to call them and report the fraud so that they can look into it. And I had to send, I got checks. I got a check in the mail. I got a debit card and everything. So I sent all that back and said, no, this is not me. I did not apply. Did that. They tried to open several bank accounts and, you know, create a whole another history. But I reached out to all of the financial institutions and explained to them what was going on. I know that LifeLock does this, but yeah, I knew it was between Christmas and New Year's, and I just thought, you know, I better get on this so that they just stop the whatever they're trying to do. And found that they were trying to open an account at SunTrust, but I spoke with their fraud department. I said, nope, that's not me. This is what's going on. And they said, okay. And some of the other financial institutions, as well as they were applying for credit at this fine jewelry store, and they were going to try and get things. So as the notification came in, like on the 28th or 29th, I think it was at like 11 o'clock, and I immediately called, because they give you, LifeLock gives you the information of who is looking at your credit or trying to look. And I was able to call that institution and say fraud, to speak to the fraud department and get that turned off. So I know that they're meeting dead ends. Of course, you also have to call the credit reporting bureaus and put a freeze on your credit and a fraud alert. And we had to change our bank account. So we went through an awful lot. It was very active, but we were very proactive in making sure that nothing is happened there. And I didn't even think about the IRS. I mean, they didn't get that far. They just were dealing with the state of Florida. But I should probably also check with the IRS.
Well, have you filed have you filed your taxes already?
Yeah, well, we did for last year, yes, early.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if anything's askew, they will get to you.
Oh yeah,
they were the ones that they were the ones that notified me that guess what, dear, your credit history has been stolen. I laughed when I got that call.
Right.
I said, "Who's going to steal my credit history?"
No, I know. That's how I was thinking. I was like, "Oh my God!" But the good thing is, you know, with LifeLock, they're right on it. And so they've been monitoring that. And it must have been on some list or something that's where they were able to do this. But the weird part was that they had the unemployment coming to me. But I think, you know, what they were hoping is that we have a locked mailroom. So it's not like a mailbox at the end of our, you know, at the end of our drive or something. So that if they were staking it out and trying to get into the mailboxes, they probably realized, oh no, they couldn't, to steal the check and to steal the debit card that the state was providing. So I felt violated for a couple of days, and then I was like, thank God LifeLock's in place, because it really was helping at all turns, so that they couldn't create this alternative life with my social and credit history and all of that. So we took care of that. We're moving forward. But we did, you know, close our other accounts and do a lot of preventive work as well.
And that's such a pain in the rear end. It really is. I mean, it's not enjoyable at all. It really isn't. But you caught it early. I had to wait to get my. This is no lie. The refund I was going to get back that year was like something ridiculous, like $78 or something.
Right.
And I had to wait a full year and 2 months to get that refund. And when I got it, I thought, well, maybe the government will give me interest on it. Nope. Here it is.
Oh, no.
Here's your $78.
When you owe them, yes, there's interest, but not when they owe you.
here's your $78, Marshall. Enjoy
it. That's it.
And every year I get this letter from the IRS that says here, and I've got another 6 years that I have to do that. Amazing.
Yeah. No, that is. It is crazy. But what I wanted to talk about is there was an interesting article that I saw yesterday about 2020, basically, in the art world or the auction world overall, the auction world. And, you know, the large auction houses like Christie's, Sotheby's, Phillips, that are dealing with, you know, billions when they for their year, their billions of dollars for the year total. They said that the larger auction houses their sales were down about 20 to 27%, you know, anywhere between 20 and 30%. And a lot of that, I do believe, is that people were holding back on putting really great stuff into the market because there really was a lot of uncertainty. They really didn't know. There was an election. There was the virus. Are people going to start showing up? The interesting numbers that I saw that's happening in the auction world and the art world is that there was a big uptick, several hundred percent uptick in the usage of online auctions only, and the revenues generated from these online auctions, because they don't have to have the number of staff. They're not doing special events. They're not doing special catalogs. It's all online. So there's a reduction in cost and an increase in the revenue and what was going on. A number of other regional and smaller auction houses, they only posted a very small percentage of where they were the same time last year. And a number of smaller auction houses, a number of my colleagues that I talked to at auction houses, they said that 2020 was like one of their best years. And a lot of it is because I think it was they're selling, you know, stuff, people were downsizing and people needed liquidity. They needed some sort of cash And so they were selling things on a smaller scale or on not as grandiose or rare, one-of-a-kind portraits and memorabilia. But the one area that really took off was the area of collectibles. We saw so many records broken in comics and in new areas of pop culture collecting, like your favorite, Marshall, sneakers, coming up to auction. And these different areas that... Because, how do I say this, is that the foundation has always been there, but because of the virus, it really put the technology to the test, and people started to really say, oh, yeah, we can do this, and let's embrace it. And they were doing it with unconventional items. And because they did well with the unconventional items, like the sneakers and comic books and other collectibles, it trickled over into the art world. And people in the art world embraced it, where somebody online might not purchase something if it was over $500,000. You have people now spending millions of dollars online. And I think that the auto auctions, those have always been there. The classic cars and things like that, you've always seen the internet and the absentee, but this has now trickled into the fine art world. So it'll be interesting to see where we move on to in the next, in the next couple of years, because I think you're going to see a bigger use of the hybrid. I don't think it's online is going to take over. But it'll be used. Yeah. It'll be used in a way that they can do together.
Yeah, a mixture, combining the two together. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's changed our world too, and the media's world, with covering meetings and things like that. Meetings will still be held, and people will be able to go to them. But if you want to, you'll be able to now log in from your house and do it, which is. Everybody wanted to push for anyways, but not completely replace meetings, but just as an enabler to go along with having everything the way it was. This is just going to be an additional benefit now.
As a possibility. Yeah. And I do have to say that some of the nonprofits that I'm working for, that I'm working with, as an instructor doing appraisal education and doing some other education, is both the National Auctioneers Association and the International Society of Appraisers, at least for the first 6 months or 8 months of 2021, is they are doing all of their classes and conferences online. They're doing them all virtually because they do realize that the demographic of their group skews older and they don't want to have people together, but they do realize that it is a safety issue. And until this is under control, they want to make sure that they can still provide benefits to being a member of the organization. So I have a couple of classes that I have scheduled that we're going to be working on throughout the year, putting together. And so that'll be exciting. So interesting to see how that is also evolving, where it just makes it so much easier than having to fly out to Las Vegas and to stay in. You know, Vegas is great for 1 or 2 days, but to be there for 10 days and teaching these classes and, it's like, okay, that's too much. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, give our best to Greg and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Definitely. Best to you. Happy New Year. Happy and healthy. And we'll speak to you next week.
All right, Tim. Take care.
Thanks, Marshall.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke. Greg is not on the air this morning. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.